heard a lot about God's strength in the story of Gideon, and also the Sunday school lesson. And if we think about his strength and about he wants to use that strength in the world today, right here, in our church here, he wants to use that strength, and but he also wants us. I think as sitting here and listening this morning, and my thought went to obedience. How strong obedience really is. Obedience to God is strength. If Gideon would have said, "Oh well, that won't work. Yeah, it's not going to work," and not followed God's word, God's direction, he would have never seen that strength. And how many stories are in the Bible of that? Story after story after story. We think of Joshua and Jericho. It didn't make any sense, did it? A walk around Jericho once every day, and then a seventh day seven times. That it just doesn't make any sense. Does God sometimes call us to do some things that just really don't make sense? It just doesn't make any sense at all. But still do it when God calls. So he wants to show his strength. He wants to show who God is. And I think, was it Ethan that said that one of the things that is our job or our way to build up the kingdom is to let our light shine. And there is just there's strength in light, isn't there? There is, that's a strong thing, the light. So if you can show that light to the surrounding people, that's what it's all about. It's all about showing who God is. If people can see God in us, they want him too. They want him too. So there's so many, many places that if we just take time and think about it, or if we take time in our everyday work, or whatever we do, we go about, and whatever we're doing, we see that. We see that strength of God in almost everything, if we just take the time to look at it. This morning, I would like to go to the book of James again. I'm not sure if I preached a message here in James or not. I don't believe I did, but I was preaching out of it at home. And I started in James 1, and there are so many subjects in James 1, and then he kind of finishes some of the subjects in some of the other chapters. And the first message I did was on the temptations, where it starts out, talks about temptations. And then I think the next one I did on the tongue. That's really quite the subject on the tongue. Now, if there's anything that can get rid of that light, is that tongue, isn't it? That is really how does it say? It says that it can't be tamed. All animals and all, vicious animals can be tamed, but the tongue cannot be tamed. I just came to the conclusion that it has to repent. If it can't be tamed, it has to repent. So, and that means the heart, if the hearts repent. See, the tongue just says what is in the heart. So the tongue is just saying what is in your heart. That's what he's saying. But this morning, I would like to go to chapter 1 and verse 9, 10, and 11 to start out with. It says here in James 1, 9, is that, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in all his ways." So I would like to try this morning to go into the scripture and point out what a rich man is, or identify a rich person. Now, the thing, right away when we, and here in 11 says, the rich man shall fade away in all his ways. Fade away in his ways, not all his ways, but in his ways. He shall, this is what happens to a rich man. The first thing probably is when we think of a rich person, or if we take possessions as rich, or wealth, I'd say wealth. When we take wealth as being a rich, we probably think of people that right away that are higher in society or have more than we have. That's probably why we think, or that's the way I think. And I don't think it's that way. We think of third world countries. The missionaries have a really good, and this is true. They really, they do good when they come to the church and they get up front and they talk about their mission and I support foreign missions in third world countries and but they try to make you feel guilty that you have so much more than the people in the other country. Well, that might be true, but it still doesn't say that I'm rich. But what I'm trying to get at here is, then how do we measure? How do we measure that? How do we measure a rich person? Well, we'll keep on going here. Growing up, we had a person in our community that had a lot of wealth. And everybody looked at him. He was the only known in close, well, not the only known, but he was one of them. There was not many millionaires in our community. And he was always pointed out as, you know, the rich man. But do we think of riches as, we can also think, we think of Warren Buffett, Gates, Elon, and the list goes on and on. The Facebook owner, and they have so much money, they have so much wealth, that it's unreal. I can't even think about so much wealth. Let me say it is that I have worked and dealt with quite a few rich people in my time. And the first two that I remember of that I dealt with, the one was really, really hard to deal with. And I'm not saying he's not a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. They were both Mennonite people. He was not a Christian. But then I also dealt with another one that had a lot of wealth, and he was just so humble and so easy to deal with. And so I didn't think he was a rich man because of how he used his wealth, how he used that wealth. So how do we look at that? There was a survey done in the U.S., the survey, they did this survey in different parts of the U.S., all different parts. I don't know how many anymore. And they asked the people, they had so many people in one area, they asked, what is wealth? What is wealth? Or what? They came up with an average of 2.5 million. That is a wealthy person. I just say that to bring this in. I'd like to point out a rich person, what a rich person is and what he does. So 2.5 is what the Americans think that is a wealthy person. But that's not the whole story. It's just simply not the whole story. If we look into the Bible here or into the Word of God, it is possible that our possessions can make us rich. It is possible. That is possible, because Matthew 13 and Matthew 13, the scriptures there, went out, and so in verse 22 he says, he also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. So there is a possibility. There is a possibility that the deceitfulness of riches, of wealth, can get us to be unfruitful. What then can we do to stay fruitful? So now let's go to James 5. And I think he pretty well points out here what a rich man is. Again, I want to say I don't think it has anything to do with wealth. It could, yes, it could, but I don't believe it does. I don't. If we look into how the rich people were in verse, the first six verses here. Let's read these first six verses. In chapter 5 of James, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the labor who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, cries, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in the pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. So, verse 3, your gold and silver, it's rusty and it's cankered. It shall be a witness against you, and it shall eat your flesh as it were fire. And you have heaped together treasures together for the last days. So, when our possessions, it doesn't matter what wealth you have. Is your net worth 10,000? Is it worth 100,000? Is it worth 1 million? Is it worth 10 million? Is it worth 1 billion? It doesn't matter when it becomes a treasure. When it becomes a treasure, I think that's where it's going to get you. When those possessions become a treasure, and those possessions can be not more than, it might not even be money, it might be something. When they become treasure, when the possessions become treasures, the thing of it is really hard to give. It is really hard to give it away. Think about what you have in your, I'm guilty of that. I have some things that I'm not sure if I want to give them away. You know, I have some things for my parents, and I don't think he's asking us to give that away. It's kind of a treasure. You know, for my grandmother, I have some things. Great grandmother. But just to point out what treasure means, it is simply that if it becomes treasure, if our possessions become, if our farm, our possessions become that, then it is so hard, it is hard to give. It is hard to give away. Because it tells us where your treasure is, your heart will also be. And God, we heard this morning over and over again that God wants our heart. You know, he wants the power. He wants us to, he wants the honor and glory. But if our heart is with our treasures, then it's really hard to trust God. Maybe we'll go to that. Luke 12. In Luke 12, let's read that. Got to give me a little time. I got a new Bible, and the pages are really thin. I'm not used to it, so I got to practice with this. I went back to the English and German again. So I just love the German two different translations to study. Okay, in Luke 12, verse 16, is where I wanted to start here. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought was in himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou shalt be required of thee. Thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. I think that verse there we need to pay attention to. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, and he goes on what to consider here, and for the sake of time, I'm going to quit there, but he says, I believe what he's pointing out here is he wants us to trust him and not our treasures. I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to tell us. Now, let's come back to this. Is this rich man here? Where did he fail? Where was he? His land brought forth hundredfold, a lot. Is that any different than today? We are so blessed. We, especially in this country, we have a lot. We get the increase. There's a lot of increase. I have to think of he didn't have enough room to store his goods. Now, what was the right thing to do here? We're probably all guilty of this. I took a tour of a cabinet shop the other day when nobody was around. Well, Jonathan was there. And I walked through there and I said, wow. I just said, wow, wow, wow. All this space here and all. So, you know, times is prosperous and Joseph bought and he increased his business. He bought a bigger building and he just what this rich man did. Just exactly what this rich man did. So is he a rich man? Is Joseph now a rich man? So, now I just took him for example, but we're all, your business grows. It grows, and we build, and we expand our business, we add, because the Lord has blessed us richly. But I want to come back again and say this. Once it becomes a treasure, that is where the danger lies in. And I will say to, in here he says, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry in the last days. It's simply saying that, God, I don't need you anymore. It's simply what it is, what it's saying. I am all set. And can you agree with me that if we say that when we have 10,000 or 10 million, there's no difference. There's no difference. Now, it says here in the last day, and that is, what is that? Is that retirement? Or is that you can't lay up for yourself in the old days? I don't think that's what he's saying. I think the emphasis is on this parable that he gave is simply on a man, on a rich man. Because he was living for himself. This is what he was doing. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So there's two riches, a rich towards God and rich. So he that layeth up treasure. Again, I wanna say this again, so we keep this in mind, that once it becomes a treasure, it becomes mine and not the kingdom of God. He gathered for himself. And again, I want to say that it doesn't matter how much it is. If you gather for yourself, if you're in it just for yourself, then that's where it becomes a treasure. That's where you become rich. Okay, we'll go back to James here again. In the verse 4, it says, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, cries, and the cries of them which have reaped." This is again, look at what he says here. He says that you had people working for you, and you kept kept their wages back. You cheated them. And this is a sign of a rich man. And again, can you agree with me that unfair gain can be done by anyone? One that has 10,000 or one that has 10 million or 20 or 30 or 100. It's fraud. This is a sign of a rich man. And especially your employees. God said, I hear this. A rich man steals from his employees. This is a sign of a... See, the things of the Bible, the laws of the Bible, the commandments of the Bible are also to be used in our business. Yeah, we might say we have to make good business decisions. That's okay, but it still says, the Bible still says, be kind to one another, love one another, and use the golden rule. It still says that. Regardless, and I believe that sometime we just have to make decisions that aren't so good for the business. They aren't so good for the business, yeah. We might have an employee that is just, it just doesn't any good for the business. What do you do? What do you do? Now, I'm not going to say never. But I can't find anywhere in the Bible where you can fire a person. Just tell him to go home. I can't find that. If we apply the golden rule, if we apply humility and being kind to one another and love, maybe he's there for your mission. Maybe that's your mission. But that's not how a rich man operates his company or his business. He makes the decision what benefits the company. Yeah, you might lose money. We might lose money by doing that. But that's just some of the points a rich man does. We take from other people. Proverbs says, he that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Now, in James 2, he talks about this too. James 2, he talks about the respect of person. And he again points out a rich person, which I think is really good. Here in James 2, verse 5, it says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not that blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well." And he's talking about partiality. If there's a poor person comes to church, or if you deal differently with a wealthy person than a poor person, then this is what he's saying. He's saying that that you shouldn't do that. You despise the poor. And I know it's sometimes hard to, in our businesses and in the world, to the poor, to just take it. I had a situation where a rich man tried to, he tried to take something from me, And I don't say this to brag, but I tell you how it works usually. If you just say, okay, you can have it, usually that ends the conversation. I had a tract of land, actually it's down in southern Illinois. I still have it, but I got it surveyed. And I was out in the rich man's property about 20 feet in his field. The stakes were put up in his field. I had a registered surveyor come and do it. And those stakes were up, and the next day his attorney called me, said, hey, what's going on here? You're out in my client's field. And who did you have surveyed at? And I said, registered surveyor. You know, he's good. He knows what he's doing. He said, well, that's not where the property line is. And we went back and forth for a while. I said, okay. I said, what I'll do is you just go ahead and pull the stakes and put them wherever you want. Well, I can't do that. Well, just go do it. I don't care, really. Just put them wherever you want. And that's the last I heard of him. Never called back. That was a couple months ago. Never called back. Never heard from him again. But that's the way this landowner is a very rich person. He has hundreds and hundreds of acres of land around. And that's the way they operate. But to fight back, use the light. If I would have said, well, I'll get my attorney involved and I'll fight you, there'd be a fight. Don't oppress the poor. It says, you know, it'll come back and hunt you. It'll come back and get you. In Psalms 12, it says, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at you. So we notice here that God hears the poor. He hears the cry of the poor if the rich So here's another sign. Let's just keep this in mind, that the rich man usually goes after the vulnerable where he thinks he can get it. He uses anything that he can to enlarge his kingdom. He cheats. He's unfair. A sign of a rich man. Not of his wealth, not of how much he has, but that's certainly a sign. James 5, let's go again to James 5 here, the scripture that we had here. In verse 5, you have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Here again it says, all for myself. It's all for myself. How much? I don't have to have very much to do this. But like I said in the beginning, that there is a danger. There is a danger of letting, if you have a lot, to have let that become your ruler or your, let's go to Matthew 19 to explain this one. Matthew 19, verse 16 to 24. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, here we see this, he takes this rich young ruler, and he did a lot of good things, didn't he? You know, he was a righteous man. He had a lot of good things here. But what was missing? He had treasures, didn't he? Is that what was missing? He had treasures. His possessions were a treasure to him, and he didn't want to give them up. He didn't want I don't believe Christ said, sell what you have and come follow me. And I don't think that the things was his possessions that was wrong. His heart was wrong, wasn't it? His heart is what was wrong. It was full of those treasures. Let's read another one in Luke 16, verse 19. And this is about the rich man. These stories are all familiar to us. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's not what I wanted. Where am I? Let's go to Luke 19. That's the story of the rich man. Luke 19, verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19, if I get it right here now. So I really got to practice with my Bible here for a while. There was a certain, 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which had clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in the bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in a lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And because of all this, and besides all this, there is a great divide between us. But this points out here again, is here was a rich man. Here was a rich man living for himself. Here was a man with a lot of possessions living for himself. And this poor man was at his gate and was begging for help. And he didn't help him. He had the opportunity to help. It doesn't say he was an American with 2.5. It just says he was a rich man. This is what rich people do. They think about themselves. And again, I want to say it's not hinged on how much we have to be selfish, is it? Is that hinged on what we have, or isn't it? It isn't. Selfish is a heart condition. When we see beggars, what do we do? On street corners, or what do we do? We don't have to stop at everyone. That's not what I'm trying to say here. That we do, and sometimes we're worried about, is he true? Is he really poor? And I've read stories about, you know, people already that actually do that, or that are very rich. the street corners to beg. There was, I read one story where the one, it was in I can't remember, in was it New York or was it in one of the California, the biggest cities in the rich part, and he sometimes on a weekend could gross $18,000 on a street corner, and just by begging. And so, but here's what I would like to say. And we kind of came to the conclusion, Carol and I, when we travel a lot and we have the opportunity to give, we sometimes stop and give. But we kind of come to the conclusion, it's not our business if he uses for drugs or cigarettes. It's not really our business. That's up to him. Once we give, and I don't look at it as, the alms that we give or wherever we give. It's not our business to make the increase. See, if our possessions and our money is a treasure to us, then we'd like to control it on down through. We'd like to control it. But it's not for us to, when we give to God, it's not us to control it. It's up to God to give the increase and control that. It's not me. So I think that's another point that a rich person is simply, he would like to control those possessions on down through. I don't think it's that we need to do that when we give. God is the one that makes the increase. Let's give it with a humble heart and with a true heart and let God do that. But that's one. So it looks to me like that's another sign of a rich person is that it's a selfish person. In James 5, verse 6, he says, you have, in our scripture here, you have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you.